Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the Old Testament book of Numbers. Now to Pastor Chris.
Welcome back to Numbers, everyone. Chapter 25 today. And before we get started, parental warning, PG-15. Some material is definitely not appropriate for children. Seriously, kids, ask your parents to check this one out first. Hit the pause button now. I'm waiting. You're still there, and I know it. Off. Okay, grown-ups, this one's a little rough. Yesterday, we saw how the battle lines of spiritual warfare are drawn. Today, we will see how they're crossed. As you may recall, Balaam and Balak found it impossible to defeat God's people with a direct attack, military or spiritual. But here in chapter 25, the strategy changes, and it works. The lesson for you and I is sobering. Verse 1, while Israel was staying in Shittim, the men began to indulge in sexual immorality with Moabite women, who invited them to the sacrifices to their gods. The people ate the sacrificial meal and bowed down before these gods. So Israel yoked themselves to the Baal of Peor, and the Lord's anger burned against them. The problem starts with the men of Israel, God's men, in sexual immorality. That's sex without morals, no right and wrong. Now, I know this could be an argument already, but think about this. Apart from any religious or biased ideas, we know, one, sex creates a human being. I know you knew that. Let the gravity of it hit you. The power to create a human. Two, sex is a profound expression of romantic love, like nothing else. And what a way to create children, out of love, unity, and joy. And three, sex, when it's wrong, is the source of deep and painful scars for countless people. That's the immoral part. Now, I haven't said anything controversial or even biblical about it yet. Just simple observation. Whatever your view, sex is serious. With something that's either so amazingly good or so horrifically bad, sometimes I think we don't realize the power of what we're dealing with. It's like we play dodgeball with radiation and giggle when people die. God gets it. God created sex and made it good. And it is because sex is so good that the immoral part is so bad. It's amazing, and we ruin it. And so God gave his rules, how to keep it pure. It's pretty simple, really. Sex is made for marriage. One man, one woman, marriage. And Hebrews says that the marriage bed is holy. Now remember from our last chapter that God gave his rules to Israel. He chose the Israelites as the keepers of his law, as those who would live out his ways, set apart as a testimony to the world. So back here in Numbers 25, when the Israelite men go chasing after Moabite women, cheating on their wives, destroying their families, and all in the worship of wicked pagan gods like Baal, for a quick thrill, this is serious. Some testimony to the world, the true and living God called out Israel, redeemed them, announcing to the world that this is what my side looks like. And now God's people were no different from anyone else. So how did it happen? Numbers 31 explains that the whole ordeal was Balaam's idea. That's right, Balaam, the prophet who tried and tried, but found that Israel could not be cursed. God drew the lines, and no power on earth or hell could stand against them. But Balaam still wanted that cash, so Balaam got an idea. If you can't beat them, get them to beat themselves. Balak, you'll never defeat God's people with an outside attack. No curse, no military strike. But if God's people get caught up with other gods, so here's what you do. Get your women, temple prostitutes and the like, send them in to seduce Israel's men. Kick the wives and kids out of the tent, and when you got the men thoroughly stupid, mix in a little idol worship. And it worked. Don't miss the lesson. If you belong to God, you cannot be defeated by an outside attack, but you can defeat yourself. James says that it's your own desires that tempt you to sin. The story of Balaam is mentioned by Joshua, Nehemiah, Micah, Peter, Jude, and by Jesus himself. And almost every time, it's a warning. In Revelation 2, Jesus warns the church where the teaching of Balaam had crept in. The teaching of Balaam is Satan's strategy to this day. Entice God's people with sex, mix in some idolatry, and they will bring a curse upon themselves. Sexual sin has destroyed many a mighty man of God. It's the same today. Sex sells. It sells idols and it sells sin. Greed, violence, drugs, the list goes on. It is a true gateway drug. Talk to addicts. Pornography is often the first addiction on a long road of destruction, and it happens to God's people. So back in our story, what does God do about it? Verse 4, the Lord said to Moses, take all the leaders of these people, kill them, and expose them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the Lord's fierce anger may turn away from Israel. The punishment is harsh. Find the leaders and put them to death. Expose them. Verse 9 tells us that God also sent a plague among them. God is the judge of the earth, and he had every right to do it. Adultery already came with the death penalty. God said that was the righteous punishment. And consider it. What should be the penalty for dividing the unity of a family, destroying the most sacred covenant of love among humans, bringing years of pain to children in a broken family, all for purely selfish motive? Sacrifice your family on the altar of some pagan god, and yes, God will punish it. Now, am I advocating the same rule for today? No. Am I condemning you for your past? No. Jesus forgave the woman in adultery. But understand, the reason that story is so striking is that she deserved death, and Jesus gave her life, and we get that too. Also remember that the life of the Israelites was in many ways a physical picture of spiritual reality. And the reality is that adultery will kill you. Pornography will destroy your soul slowly. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap destruction. And then in verse 6, the story gets worse. Then an Israelite man brought into the camp a Midianite woman right before the eyes of Moses and the whole assembly of Israel while they were weeping at the entrance to the tent of meeting. When Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw this, he left the assembly, took a spear in his hand, and followed the Israelite into the tent. He drove the spear into both of them, right through the Israelite man and into the woman's stomach. Then the plague against the Israelites was stopped. Wow, I told you this was not kid stuff. An Israelite man named Zimri, a leader among his family, brings in a woman in broad daylight, as if to tell everyone, I don't care if this destroys my wife, wrecks my kids for years, dishonors God. I don't care about anyone else's pain. All I care about is me. And the priest, Phinehas, grabs a spear and runs them both through in the very act. And God honors Phinehas. Why? In verse 12, since he was as zealous for my honor among them as I am. Phinehas gets it. Zimri was destroying his family and deserved to die. But it was bigger than that. The reputation of Almighty God was on the line. Phinehas protected God's honor and stopped the plague. When we hear about a pastor in adultery, we get mad because it's wrong. When we hear about child abuse from a church leader, that is seriously wrong. But the worst is when we hear that other church leaders let it go, even covered it up. Then the whole world mocks the church, and with it, the name of Christ. When God is not honored by his own people, the damage is global. Phinehas was zealous for the honor of God, and God blessed him. Read Numbers 25 today. Now don't go grabbing a spear, but be zealous for the honor of God in your life, in your family, and in your ministry.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.